Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I had recorded like the weekly reads in advance. I had a good time doing that and I got myself caught up over the holidays. And I thought I'd put together the front part of the podcast where I talk about books that I've got and some questions. I had polled some people for questions like around December 23rd or something like that. And I had to go find them because they had been a while since finding things on Twitter isn't as easy as I thought. But I do want to give out a shout out to Aaron Bell. He sent me a copy of Spawn 250. He knows I've been looking for some issues, trying to fill the holes, and he sent that along with a blank cover variant of Action Comics. So shout out to Aaron Bell from Nerdy Legion. That was a very, very kind thing to do. And he didn't ask for any money, and shipping is a bitch. So there's a lot of money just to ship it. I really appreciate that. Dennis Chandler sent me a over the holidays, he sent me, aren't you looking for a bunch of Star Wars books? And I said, yeah, I've been trying to fill some of the Dark Horse, and they've been going up in price, and they're hard to get. And I guess he bought a bundle of Star Wars books that had duplicates and other issues. There's some Dark Empire 2 in there. There's some Jabba the Hutt one shots. There's some Rogue Squadron. There's the Jedi Knight stories, Tales of the Old Republic. It has a fantastic set of books that that Dennis sent me. Another shout out to a Nerdy Legion. People looking out for me. And also received a Kickstarter, Stand Still. This is 4 issues. I think this is Justin Gray, but I don't remember it. I don't remember ordering this one. And the covers look amazing. It's black and white. The art is, oh my God, the art is beautiful. But it's a Justin Gray and Jimmy Braxton, and it's 4 issues. And good Lord, is the art great. There is nudity in it. But that series came in 1 through 4. There was a package stuck in Pittsburgh. I thought I was done lost. I was never going to see the light of day. It was Punchline, and I'm so glad that I got it because it's from Ted Sirkora. And I think it's his first Kickstarter. The other books that he did, he released through previews. Tap Dance Killer, and I forget what the other one was. They were pretty long. Tap Dance Killer is 4 issues, but the other one, God, I can't remember what it's called. Old age sucks. But that one ran Apama. Apama, it had a lot of issues. So I collected all those, and then I saw that he had done a Kickstarter, and I ordered it. Punchline and he's got a continuity going on in his universe. They all tie together. I received a Big Dog Ink book. I spent $20 on this one. It's a like a Walking Dead variant. Not too crazy about the cover, but I do like all the extras. He does a lot of interesting extras that I sort of like. I'm not too big on little posters or whatever, but when people do the poker chips, I sort of dig those. And there were two poker chips. There was a guitar pick. With logo of Princesses versus Zombies. There was a set of cards. Some of them were glossy cosplayer cards and pictures. And then there was 4 metal cards, and these metal cards are badass, man. I really like them. If I wasn't so cheap ass with my Kickstarter, I would love to do those as like incentives, as these metal cards, and then have artists draw them. 'Cause I, and then he throws in these door hanging things, and I've always dug them. They're things that you hang on your door, and it's got like a sexy princess on it, and it says, "I'll be ready in a few minutes." So you, like if you were at a hotel, you could put that out there. No, but yeah, that came in. I had forgot to order my calendars from Asgard Press. Do you say Asgard or Asgard? Asgard is the way I say it. I sort of have a Z in there, Asgard. But I guess you could say Asgard. But I ordered, usually I order five calendars from them, but because I missed the previews order on them, I had to go through Amazon, and I got three of them. I got the Superman, the Batman, and the Wonder Woman. And usually there's a couple others, but I don't know what they were this year. This is the final year that Asgard Press is going to be putting out the DC vintages. They lost the license, so I gotta figure out what I'm going to do with the rest of the stuff. I also got a Spawn t-shirt. This one, I just so wish I could just go to Amazon and order like Spawn t-shirts. This one, the logo wasn't, I mean, the art on it and the way it's presented, it wasn't the best, but it was the only Spawn t-shirt I could find. I would love to get a Spawn t-shirt. I would love to get a Savage Dragon t-shirt, but I can't find one. I would adore to wear that proudly. I did order a Luke Cage. I've been watching the Luke Cage and Iron Fist shows. And I really got into the character, started reading some back issues, finished the Netflix series, and ordered some t-shirts over the holidays, but they haven't come in yet. I ordered a Luke Cage t-shirt and an Iron Fist t-shirt, so hopefully those will be coming in soon. At the comic shop today, I picked up a Gobbledygook. It's not the real expensive one. I don't even, let me see how to spell it. Gobbledygook. Yeah, the first one's like over $100, but it's the first appearance of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, supposedly, black and white from Mirage. And there is a second print, but the I bought the second issue, the second series from 1986 from Mirage, and picked that up today. Added that to the collection. And as far as back issues from the comic shop, there was a huge focus on Star Trek. I picked up some Star Trek. I think the only issue I'm missing is Star Trek number one, first series from DC. I'm missing a lot of the tail end of the Star Trek from volume two. But I picked up a lot of that and almost completed that run. And then I started the Star Trek Marvel series. So I got that. And then there was a couple of Wildstorm one shots, like in deluxe format. One was Star Trek Voyager with a Jim Lee cover. And there was another Star Trek one that I picked up. They just looked cool. So that's where I've been focusing. I really want to play some mycomicshop.order, but man, it was exhausting processing all the comics. I had too many incoming books over the holidays, and I spent a lot of hours bagging and boarding, inventorying them into the database, and not enough reading. And I was like, I'm gonna chill out a bit, I think, on that. But every time I go to the shop, I'm very interested in stuff. I just want to say I read the next Batman from Future State. I thought it was just fantastic. There were three stories in it. The first story was Batman in Gotham, the new Batman, and that was really well drawn and really interesting because all three stories have to do with like Gotham in a future state where there's like this magistrate. It's like a police state now, and you have the heroes working on it. And the second story was very interesting because it was like a katana outsider story, which I really enjoyed, and the art was fantastic. The art was fantastic on all three stories. Also dealing with the magistrate, but I guess Katana like monitors. She's not in Gotham proper. She's sort of on the outskirts, and there was Duke that was within Gotham and trying to escape on the border, and Katana had to come to the rescue. It was a really good series, and the third state was just artistically blew my mind. But it was Arkham Knights, and when the magistrate takes over Gotham, the Arkham inmates sort of unite to be a team, and it is just really great. It's got Zsasz, Killer Croc, I forget what her name is, but her name is Arkham. I'm getting a phone call, so I'm gonna try to shut that down because it's annoying. Oh, it's Safeway. I had to pick up a prescription. What happened over the holidays is I got like this weird scar. I don't know where it came from, but it might have been like Harley scratching me, but it like formed a weird like rash, and I went to the doctor and they said I needed like a steroid cream to heal it because it was like not gonna heal on its own. So that's what it was. I think Harley stretched her feet and it accidentally clawed me, and that's what happened. So I went to get the prescription today after I went to the comic shop. I love going to the comic shop and talking to Ed. He's been really good to me lately, like making sure I get a lot of second prints that I've been wanting to get because it's really hard to get second prints from DCBS. Like, if I was DCBS, what I would do is when they were made available, I send an email and say, go to the website. They do it sometimes, but not all the time. It's very strange. But I've been able to pick up like Solid Blood from him and crossover cover B with Spawn on it and couple cover Bs for Future State, and I ordered the second prints for Future State because I love the art and the color scheme. Yeah, so that there was that. I'm sorry about that. And so I think I did all my shout outs that I was gonna do. I might have missed a couple of them. But they all go to Nerdy Legion for helping me expand my collection. And I did have some questions. I had one from Dennis Chandler. He says, how do you prioritize the holes to fill in your comic run? Dennis, come on. You ought to know the answer to this. There is no priority. I wish there was, 'cause I'm so close to so many runs, like Cap. I'm like, I don't know, like a dozen issues away from completing Cap, under 20 issues away from completing, what is it, Thor, Volume 1. But the problem is. I love comics so much, and I'm in the mood. Like, I don't want to buy a back issue of something just to complete it if I'm not in the mood for it. So that mood keeps on switching. And it's a blessing and a curse because I would have I completed a lot more runs. Like, the Star Wars and Star Trek thing, that's like a fad I'm just directing to. And but I'm always looking at the database when I get onto these like modes where I'm in really into something, like Spawn and Savage Dragon. I've been so into lately that I don't want to get out of it. I do want to complete my Spawn, but some of those issues are $100 a piece, and they're hard to find. Like I can't just go to eBay or my comic shop or any of the providers and just say I want this issue. They're not there. So the supply and demand's way the fuck off. And then sometimes those Spawn issues that I want, they're low print run and I can only find a CGC, which kind of sucks because you're always going to get marked up on those values. But I really don't have a plan, and it's more towards being a mood reader. But when I'm in the mood, what I do is I look at my database and see how close I am, and then I try to attack it. So I have a lot of victories, but not a lot of complete victories, because then I'll switch modes again and go down another path. Dallo Spicer says predictions for 2021. I think that the United States will be in better hands when Trump is out of office. That's one prediction. I predict in 2021 that I'll be able to get my COVID shot. I went to the doctor today and I was kind of scared because of the COVID, but I didn't realize they don't see anybody with cold symptoms, which is kind of weird. They said if you called and they say I have a cold or a sore throat or whatever, they like route you to a COVID clinic, which is very strange. Like I went for that scar that I was talking about, and I don't even know if Harley scratched me. I just know it's not healing. It's one of those enzema things, or I forget what it is, but it'll heal with. He says he's confident that 2 weeks of this cream steroid thing will heal it, and I'll be back to not having that scar. I predict we'll get COVID shots, and then hopefully by 2022 I'll be able to go to convention again, but I'm not going to do it in 2021. I predict that Bad Idea is finally going to publish out comics in 2021, but I've tried a couple things and I just haven't found who to get it from. I want to get it from Cowabunga, but they're not on the list, and I don't know if they'll ever be on the list. And I don't want, I've tried a couple shops going through their interface, like entering in my information says you'll get a call, and I don't get a call, or I don't get notified on email. So I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do, but I know I have one comic coming out because I ordered it 2 years ago, and it's coming from one of those shops. And I didn't order any more from them because it was a pain in the ass. And they held my money up for a long time. So, ENIAC, I'll probably get number one. I don't know if I'm going to do their books because there's just not a shop. And I went to the Colorado route and I never got contacted. And I just said, fuck it. I'm not going to do it. It's one thing to have something like TKO where I could just go to the website and order it. And it's another thing to make it a pain in the ass for me to get my books. And right now, Bad Idea is a pain in the ass. I want them. I really do. But I'll live. And I think they're going to be a great company. I don't like their paradigm of how to get the books. And it's too much work. I'd rather it just be through Diamond or whatever. And I kind of feel that way about Sight Comics. Like, I really love some of those books that they put out, but it's just so inconvenient. And if I don't get told, like from Erica Cowabunga, I got a new batch of Sight Comics, Sit Comics. I'll say Sit because I think it's supposed to be like sitcom. Then I just won't. I'm not gonna pursue it. I'm not gonna be like trying to get it. Now, if it was a Todd McFarlane or Eric Larson book, I would go out of my way to hunt them down, but I do like the Blue Baron or whatever that one's called a lot because I like Ron Frenz. I adore his art. But yeah. 2021, I'm hoping that the COVID numbers go away. I'm hoping in terms of comics, I hope it still goes in. I think comics are doing really well because of COVID. And here's why it should still go well this year. I dropped that pick. Gotta find it. But it's such a small thing. But I think they do well because people don't have a lot of entertainment alternatives or vacation alternatives, so they'll resort to reading, and hopefully a lot of those people will stick around. At least I hope. You have one prescription ready for refill. Huh. I guess today's a day of prescriptions. Thought I was Barb gonna tell me to come home, but that she was coming home. I got out of work early today so I could go to that doctor's appointment. Doctor was really cool though because I might have to travel to a hot zone for work, California. And I asked, he gave me a couple masks that were the, what do you call it, the N95 masks. So if I do have to fly into that hot zone of COVID, which is scary, I'll at least have some better masks. And the N95 kind of protect you, whereas the cloth mask, I think it's like 30% protection, and it only works good like 90% of the time if everyone's wearing a mask. And there's a lot of fucking anti-maskers that don't believe in science. I mean, it's fucking common sense that particles come out of your nose and your mouth, and it's an airborne virus, and if you block it with something, at least partially, it's gonna block some of those particles. But some people are just too goddamn stupid. And you'll never convince them, 'cause we have a bullshit liar as a president. He lies and people believe him. And then there's other people that are the same way. I don't know. It just spread lies. There's no facts about it. Go fact check the shit. Don't just listen to social media and these yahoos. But hopefully he'll get impeached. I hope so. Of the attack on the Capitol, man, that was fucking embarrassing, and people died, and it should have never happened. And then he comes back on and he says, "Oh yeah, I sent the National Guard." He fucking did not. That was Pence. Pence was there, and Pence realizes he threw him up fucking under the bus because he was in that building. Just like he comes on board and first he goes to those people that were rallying in front of the Capitol, gets them all fired up. "Go to Capitol protest, blah 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 blah. Go after those people. They're not all good people, blah blah." And then he like gets in his car and takes off, and then they attack the Capitol, and he should not, he should be tried for that. That's some bullshit. And none of his facts on the election have been proven, and they're just spinning their wheels because that's why the Republicans fucking lost everything, is because of the president. It's just, this whole thing is ridiculous. I voted Democrat, I voted Republican in the past. I vote for who I think is the best candidate, and I have never in the history of my life ever had to talk politics, ever. And this is just, He's a clown, is what he is. He doesn't belong leading anybody because he's just thinks about himself, and he'll throw his own family under the bus. He'll throw anybody under the bus, just like he did those people. Now that they're getting arrested, we'll attack these people to the utmost law. He's the one that fired them up. What the fuck? I hope they realize, at least they're smart enough to realize what he did to them. Threw him under the bus with that speech. But anyway, I'm gonna get back on track here. So, lots of changes with DC. Is it for better or not? I think it's for the better, at least for my little small world. My comic book shop has never sold more DC than what they're selling now. And I don't know why that is, but they're selling a lot of DC comics right now, almost in the Marvel numbers, and it was a Marvel shop. So I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing better. And I've never stopped. I could go to any era of DC and just enjoy it as much as I ever did. So I think it'll stay as good as it's always been. Yeah, I know a lot of people might not think that, but I don't really give a fuck. Well, it is what it is for me. I enjoy it no matter what. There's always some great DC books to talk about and discuss, and history of the character in mind. Like I always say, everything is in continuity for me. Just like, I mean, they're saying that in Dark Knight's Metal. They're finally telling everybody everything matters. That's how my mind has always worked. Things just didn't get like all that history that led up to Flashpoint, that led up to New 52, that all mattered. It's just that Flashpoint happened, and then we ended up with the new thing, and then we ended up with Rebirth, and now we're in some other flavor of it. So it all matters. It's all linear to me. It all happens. If you go back to 31 December 2019, what advice works you give yourself for 2020? Do's and don'ts, not COVID related. I don't know if you take out COVID, I don't know what I would do and don't. I do what I want to do, and I always have. I'm fortunate enough to have a good job and get what I want when I want it. I can't think of anything that I would have tell myself that's not COVID related or political related. Yeah, I've always, since I knew about the disease, even when it was in China, I decided I gotta protect myself as much as I can. We started buying masks very early in the process, before there were no masks available. 'Cause I'm at risk, but you said not COVID related. I have no regrets. One thing maybe I would have done, but I'm glad I didn't, is go to C2E2, because it was like the last safe con before all hell broke loose. But I don't regret it. I don't regret any of that. Missing it. I live with my best friend, so what more could I ask? Whether it's being locked up in a house because we can't go anywhere or whatever. When you marry your best friend, it doesn't matter. You'll always find stuff to do and keep each other company. So, I can't think how to answer that question. If I could go back and see, and you say not COVID related, but the one thing I would have loved to get is those N, some of those things that you could buy at Home Depot, some more masks, because those masks protect you even when other people don't wear masks. That's the difference. Not COVID related. I would have taken more vacation early on and spend more time with family. I think our last trip was during the sort of the outbreak. And then after that, we never went home. I miss my family a lot. But I think if I could have foretold what happens, I would have somehow seen if I could take a month off of work in January and just spend it with my mom and dad. I think Barb would love that too. If we could foresee it, because we couldn't take vacation for the rest of the year, I think knowing what happens would have driven me to take all my vacation, to front load my vacation in January and maybe February and just take off a month. I have a lot of vacation accrued because of the COVID and not being able to use it and working a lot of overtime. So yeah. That's the one thing and that's not COVID related. I think I would have taken a longer vacation in January, February, to go back home and just be with family, knowing what happened, because not seeing my family is a big deal, and I miss them. But I don't usually have regrets. Or things that I should have done. I guess I should have realized how popular Star Wars was gonna be if I knew like Boba Fett and Jango Fett were gonna become so popular. Then I would have gotten the Jango Fett series from Dark Horse and the Boba Fett, all the Boba Fett series. Because they're blowing up, and then I would have gotten the first Ahsoka Clone Wars book, and in January I would have bought Star Wars 1 through 3, the Marvel series, and then got the first appearance of Boba Fett. So all Star Wars related, just because it would have been affordable, and now everything is just gone nuts. So comic book related, I did think of something. I think I would have exploited and picked up some first appearances of Star Wars and yeah. So I hope that answers your question, Dallow Spicer, and I don't even know if that's your real name, but. Thank you for asking these questions. And we'll get back to the weekly reads. And that will be it. I think when I close out the second part of the show, even though I recorded it weeks ago, I give you all my contact information. So that's what I'll do. And, I hope you guys have a healthy and happy 2021. I hope you get to see your family. I hope you get to spend time with your friends. I hope you stay COVID free, even with this new outbreak or strain that's more contagious. I hope you have a good one and enjoy your comics. Comics are a wonderful thing, and you should take advantage of them, because there's a lot to find, there's a lot to discover, and you can never have enough comics, and you can never explore enough comics. So get on it, and we'll talk to you later. Bye. All right, and I'm back, and this is the Weekly Reads. And we're going to start with the weekly reads from November 2nd of 2020 to November 8th of 2020. There were only a total of 15 comics. I did do write-ups on this one though. There were two vault. It was a good distribution of comics. Not a lot of Marvel and DC. Two vault, one Source Point Press, two Marvel, one Mad Cave, three Image, three Heavy Metal, one Dynamite, one Broadsword, and two Boom. And that Broadsword was a Kickstarter. It was offered as a Broadsword comic, and then what he did was he took two issues of the Broadsword and made it into a Kickstarter, and that's where I went from there. And then once I realized what was going on, I was like, I just gotta get Broadsword because I like what he did. We'll start at the bottom, now that you know the total and the distribution. We had the Burning Tree. These are 3 out of 5s. The Burning Tree, number one. This isn't really a comic more than a landscape version of pictorials that of a story that could be open to interpretation. This is a woman is overcome with guilt. You don't really know because there's no words. Maybe because she's an abusive relationship. And then lightning strikes and burns her house down, and maybe kills her husband. So it's hard to tell, and it could mean a lot of different things to different people. We had a discussion of this on Geek Brunch, and that's what we came up with. But if you've read The Burning Tree from Source Point Press, let us know what you thought it was about. It'd be interesting. It's an interesting experiment to see if we come up with different interpretations. We have the next one from Boom. This is We Only Find Them When They Are Dead. Such a long title, it's exhausting to say. Number one. This is coroners in space who mine dead gods. So let's say if there's these huge deities and they die, then these guys go in their spaceship and they sort of like dig out their eyeballs and then sell their eyeballs in the black market and stuff like that. That's what this is sort of about. We have the next 3 out of 5, which is Dynamite. This is like a Deceased crossover and Marvel Zombies crossover for the Dynamite universe. You have Peter Cannon, Vampirella, Red Sonja, John Carter, and Evil Ernie. It's a fun series. I enjoyed it, but there wasn't a lot of substance there. We'll see how the series progresses as we go forward. The next one hits the 4 out of 5s, and this one I rated a 3 out of 5. And then after a discussion with Bill on Geek Brunch, I had to bump it up. I just had to. But this is a detective with a violent past gets put on like meter maid duty for violence because he's such a violent guy. He actually had he fought in a war. I don't remember if it was Vietnam or the Korean War. It was one of the two. And an act of terrorism happens on the Brooklyn Bridge, and that's going to change how things are done. We had another heavy metal comic book called Sun Eater Number One, where a man trades his leg for a wolf skin that has powers. He makes the trade with a magician, and that wolf skin gives him an ability. He teams up with his cousin, and there is another monarch making a deal with Wotan, which leads you back to the original magician that gave him that wolf skin. So it's a convoluted, like sword and sorcery type story. Really beautifully drawn. We have Brooklyn Gladiator. This is another heavy metal story where a thief and a drug dealer escape. I don't know what I was writing there. A thief and drug dealer escape his captors and returns to his apartment and his girlfriend when they are attacked. So he's a thief and drug dealer. Sorry, he escapes from somebody that's actually chasing him and then hooks up with his girlfriend again and then is attacked at their home. And I think they pulled apart her home. He ends up at one fat guy's house. This is weird. Who's like, who is doing drugs, but it's like he's all these contraptions are su like he's a fat guy. He's got like something stuck in his belly button and every orifice, his ass, his mouth, and he's like sucking in drugs that he took from the main character, which I guess we could call the Brooklyn Gladiator, and he's using his drugs without his permission. And then we have It Eats What Feeds Us, number 3. I gave this a higher score than I think it deserved. It Eats What Feeds Us, number 1, was a 5 out of 5. But as this series went on, it didn't seem as magical in terms of story beats, and it felt like what was to be an 8-issue story that had a lot of depth, they crammed into 3 issues for whatever reason, and this was the final issue. The first 2 issues I loved, but this one really felt rushed. I wanted this series to be 6 issues because it had a creepy feel to it, and there were a lot more to the individual characters that could have been explored, but they kind of just wrapped it up. So it was kind of a disappointing end, but I gave it a 4 out of 5 anyway. I guess because of everything that preceded it. Raven Hex, the Sword Maiden, this was the Broadsword comic book that was a Kickstarter. What if Raven got the sword instead of Taro? And this is tied in with the main Broadsword comic book called Taro or Taro. And it was a what if story, Raven getting the sword instead of Taro. And the Skeleton Boy is there, and he's really interesting. He died in a car accident with his girlfriend and dog, and now protects the dead and seeks justice for them. So it sort of introduces his background and how he fits into this story. I've found it really interesting. A matter of fact, this Kickstarter got me to subscribe to Broadsword again. I've kind of been in and out of Broadsword. It's sort of a series of witchcraft sexiness. There is a lot of nudity that you have to put up with, but Jim Ballant does it in a stylistic way. It's not like cherry Pop-Tart sex. It's more of a artistic style of nudity, and I don't remember there being sex like there would be in like some of the Avatar books or what do they call themselves? Boundless. It's not like that. It's different, even though there is a lot of nudity. We have Dune House Arrides, and this is a property that I just don't like. I didn't like. I tried to read the book. I didn't like it. I tried to watch the movie. I didn't like it. I made it through the movie, the worms and the spice and stuff. Maybe I should revisit it now that I'm a little more mature. I don't know. But I read the comic book and I really liked it. I gave it a 4 out of 5. It's a story of a young kid who's exposed to, sorry. This is a duke who is preparing his son for a trip. And this has to do with spice and all that stuff. Meanwhile, on the planet Arrides, there is a spice mine explosion, and it kind of leads into this trip, I think, that the Duke is sending his son on. Stargazer is from Mad Cave Studio. It's a story of a young kid who's exposed to LSD when he's very, very young and thinks he was abducted by aliens. And now, cut to the future, when he's an adult along with his sister, and he may be right. So that's Stargazer. We have New Mutants 92 through 93. This is Rain telling Cable about her run-in with the Skrull Circus. The New Mutants head to Mandapore in the second story and fight with the Strife and the Mutant Liberation Front with Wolverine. We have Savage Dragon 251 and 253. Malcolm's daughter has a party, invites a tiger person, very much like the Shazam tiger. What is his name? I can't think of his name, but much like that, Malcolm and his girlfriend have lots of sex, and his girlfriend, and then he meets with the Savage Dragon from the multiverse that has been merged with all dragons, so he has the memory of the dragon we think he's dead, and then other dragons. He is being controlled and fights Malcolm before he gains control again. Malcolm throws down with the vicious circle led by Dart and gets defeated. Dragon's girlfriend has a fight with her mom and goes over. I should have said Malcolm's girlfriend, because when I refer to Dragon, I'm going to refer to the older guy that thinks he's the Savage Dragon. But Malcolm's girlfriend has a fight with her mom over a porno she made. She made a porno with a robot. I forget what the robot's name is, but it's insane. Maxine. That's what I should have just said. Just call her by name. I'll fix it. Maxine. So those are 4 out of 5s. Then we get into the 5 out of 5s. We had Autumnal, and this is a woman and her daughter go to a small town when the mother dies, and there is a lot of strange things happening over there. And this might be a mother that's not the greatest mother. A matter of fact, the school might even be reporting her for alcoholism. And the daughter is always in trouble, and they go off to the small town to the mother's funeral, and then things just get freaking weird. It's just so well told, and in story beats that like you're if you're watching a movie, it's just you don't even know you're reading a comic book. It just feels like it's a movie, and you're engrossed and you want to find out what happens next. The Department of Truth got the highest rating that month. The FBI agent has a weird experience with the Flat Earthers and is recruited by another government agency, and there's all kinds of conspiracy theories. There's the Lee Harvey Oswald stuff. All kinds of different conspiracy theories, and you kind of questioning, is it real or is it Memorex? But it's really well done. The art style, not to my liking, but it fits the story, and the story is so good that it's 5 out of 5. Even though I don't particularly like the art style, that's where we go with that. Okay, the next one should be really fast because I didn't take notes. Maybe if my mouse works. We have from November 9th through November 15th, and I just want to make sure I'm recording still. And I am. There were only 13 books that week. We have one Verotic. This might be my first one I've read from that company. That's the Glenn Danzig. Mother! Tell your children not to. I don't remember what the song goes, but I always think of Glenn Danzig there. I didn't realize he was in another band that I listened to, though. So that was strange. Kickstarter, I had 4. Mirage. We had one. Marvel, we had one. Image, we have 2. Heavy Metal, Arrow, we have 1. DC, we had 3. So the 3 out of 5s were 1941, an illustrated story. This is about the movie. It has John Belushi. He's one of the characters that I remember seeing the trailers for. I never saw the movie. Directed by Steven Spielberg. I think it was produced by Steven Spielberg. It's a weird story about the war, but told through the perspective of something in California on a like amusement park location. It's very, very strange. And you think, well, why are they telling this story? I still want to see it because it's so bizarre. But we'll see. And there's a submarine attacking California. The Japanese, and it has to do with that. And you have the crazy pilot of John Belushi trying to defend our shores, and then all the craziness that's happening at the amusement park. And I know there's a huge Ferris wheel involved, and it's very weird. We have Fox and the Hound 1 through 3. This was a Kickstarter I supported. Artistically nice. It's a sexy book, kind of like in the Boundless vein. There's a lot of nudity. There's a lot of sex. They're kind of like mercenaries for hire. They get hired to go do jobs, and they dress in these crazy costumes. In terms of story beats, it wasn't that great. Like, it's one of the Kickstarters that I liked, but I don't know if there's enough for me to go back and I thought the art was good, but the story wasn't as told well enough with the art. It was more of a chemistry thing for me personally. And I usually like this genre, but I didn't do it. Mortana, this was the Verotic. This was a bloody cult mess, but it was fun. Let me see if there's a write-up of it on my database because I didn't write up anything about it. Mertana. Verotic. No, there's no write-up. But I remember she's sort of an abused woman that gets powers of like the Mexican holiday, the Day of the Dead, and then she just slaughters people. That's what I remember. That one has nudity and death and violence, I think, which is a staple of Verotic. I'm glad I got it, even though I rated it a 3 out of 5, which is, hey, I enjoyed it, but it's one of those questionable, like right in the middle of the grading system. For that one, I'd probably go back to, like, if there was a number 2, which there isn't, I probably would check it out. The 4 out of 5s were Cavewoman, The Metal Age. This is like a cavewoman going into a road warrior situation, if you will, going through a portal. That one was really interesting, but I realized it would be much cheaper just to buy this from, I think they're Basement Comics or whatever they are, because they are solicited in previews. So they have a new Kickstarter out for Metal Age 2, and I think it's much cheaper than to go through $10 plus shipping to support them getting it through previews, which is going to be like cover price $3.99. Plus a 20% discount. So I think that's a better route for me. Image number 0 I got because I'm on the Savage Dragon kick, and this has an unprinted story in single issues. It does exist in the archive, but not in the single issues. And it's sort of like the details of the story that happened in Savage Dragon with his first girlfriend when he's in bed and the guy comes to the door and then blows the girlfriend's brains out after they had sex. Well, it kind of tells a little more detail of that happening, and then it gives, I think there's a Shadow Hawk story in there, and Todd McFarlane contributes through images of the freak. Like drawn images, so if you're a Todd McFarlane fan, it's a must get. And this was a book that I realized I didn't have, and Rob Liefeld talked about it a little bit, and I realized why I didn't get it because I wasn't a real like mail order guy, and this was one of those books that you had to have a coupon in each one of the image books, like Savage Dragon and all those books. I think there was Wetworks and Cyberforce, and because there was a Cyberforce story, I remember it. It was about the guy with the metal arms. I don't remember his name. And Shadow Hawk, and you'd take out these coupons, you'd mail them in, and then you'd get a free Image Zero. Warlands was a book that Joe Crawford, my friend, sent me, and I wanted it because of the Pat Lee artwork. I've really gotten into his stuff, and this isn't a genre that I absolutely hated. About 10 years ago, you'd say I'd stay away from it. It's like in the Dungeons and Dragons realm, and I've never liked that kind of thing. But lately, I've been dipping my toe in, especially in Vault and some of those other Scout series that are fantasy related, and I've been enjoying it a lot more. So I'm open to it, and I wanted to read this because of, like I said, the Pat Lee artwork, and it was pretty good. I gave it a 4 out of 5. We got Fury of Firestorm, The Nuclear Man. This was a curiosity for me to reread. This is the New 52. And why I wanted to read this one is because of the political stances of Ethan Van Sciver and Gail Simone, which are like an opposite political spectrum. One is a hate monger and one is like a lover of people. And they work together in the New 52, believe it or not, on plot. Ethan Van Sciver did not draw this. He did draw the covers. But you know what? The story is really good. It involves Stein, which is a bad guy sort of scientist that create the nuclear men, and Ronnie and Jason Rush are caught into this, and they become the Firestorm guys. And it involves like firestorms from other countries as well. There's terrorist firestorms and all kinds of this. And this is Jason and Ronnie taking down a terrorist firestorm, but in the midst of that, 10,000 people die at like a concert. And then Pozar from Russia confronts the two firestorms. We have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles slash Savage Dragon number one. This was a team up that they had. It's one Ninja Turtle going to Detroit. I can't remember why, but he was going there and he meets up with Savage Dragon. It stars like a couple of other creations from Savage Dragon, Freak Force, I think some members of Freak Force, and that underground movement. They own a restaurant together. There's the web lady. I can't remember the widow. I think it's her name's the widow. And it has the guy that owns the restaurant, the rock guy. That's really strong, like the thing, but I can't remember. Rumble, maybe? I can't remember his name, but they're in it. And it's continued in Savage Dragon, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So that this one is for Mirage. We have Deadpool number 7. I don't know what happened in my life, but I like Deadpool again, and I never liked him. And it's not the movies that led me there. It is the Gail Simone Agent X series that led me to Deadpool. And I just started buying it around the time of the bundle, because I was just getting the Marvel bundle off of DCBS. And this one, where he's like the king of the monsters, I really like. And that he has Elisa Bloodstone in there as his partner, it makes the series like so good. And Kelly, I think it's Kelly Thompson, is writing it. And it's just really good story beats. And I think she's the one that wrote the Gwenpool, which I loved a lot too. So she's really good in that fourth, what do they call it? The fourth dimension type thing where they're like talk to the audience and stuff like Deadpool does and Gwenpool does. It works well. The 5 out of 5 for that week, there was only one, and it was Joe Kubert Presents number 4, The Redeemer. It had a Redeemer story in it, which is sort of like a warrior, an immortal warrior like Highlander through the times. It's really good. I think The Redeemer was supposed to be a comic book during the DC explosion, but then the implosion happened and The Redeemer was sort of lost, and then they put it together in this book, and it's really worth watching or reading. They had an Angel of the Ape and a USS Stevens story, and those USS Stevens stories are awesome. I highly recommend it. This guy fought in World War II on a ship. He was in the Navy, and he tells a lot of stories that are sort kind of true. This one in particular has a, if I remember correctly, a mystical type thing, so it's not really true. But a lot of his stories are true, and they're based on real characters that he was on the boat, kind of like his diary. Yeah, that was really good. And that leads me to November 16th through November 22nd. We had a total of 20 comics, one Mad Cave, two Image, 14 DC, one Archie, one Aftershock, one Action Lab. We had the Mad Cave one that didn't work, but the premise is there. So I liked it a lot from premise, but the execution was not quite where I wanted it. Was for Mad Cave, the 3 out of 5, which means I liked it. Hollywood Trash. It's a bunch of trash men in Hollywood that there's a Hollywood cult, like actors, stuntmen, all this stuff, and they're looking to do something very evil, and the trash men just get involved because they're friends with an producer's daughter at one of the sites, and they always talk to her about stuff, and they look like they just coincidentally get involved, and the producer sends out the stuntman to go kill them. But it's a very strange story. The premise, like I said, is tight. Like, it's like something that could be a movie. It's just the execution beats weren't quite there. Maybe with issue 2 it'll pick up. The 4 out of 5s, we had Wonder Woman 326. I think this was just a random issue I picked on the DC app at midnight, and I just started reading it. It had to do with an Aztec god and Wonder Woman going to Mexico, I believe. And it was a Crisis on Infinite Earths story, because I remember the sky was red, and that's all that had to do with that story. We had Weird Western number 71, which was a, you think, oh, Weird Western, Jonah Hex story, but they did a Blackest Night. During Blackest Night, they offered these rings, and they took an old series and added another number to them. So it didn't take place in the 70s, the comic book itself. It was created fairly recently around Blackest Night, and they just continued the numbering for this one issue. And this had to do with Jonah Hex and the rings, the Blackest Night rings. And it centered around, I remember the Ray was sort of the protector of Simon Stagg, and they had a Black Knight ring, a Blackest Night ring, and they were trying to preserve it. And all the creatures of the Blackest Night come out to try to get the ring and absorb it. And Simon Stagg is protecting it, and they get their Stag Industries or whatever it is gets invaded, and Jonah Hex gets involved. He's one of the dead, and goes after an ancestor, I believe. The guy that's in the movie and one of the ancestors that actually created Jonah Hex and burned his face off, a Confederate guy, he's actually in the movie too. He's sort of the main character in the story, and he's a bad guy. So even though death is following them with Necron and all the dead, Jonah Hex acts like a good guy, even though he's dead and he's not a good guy. We have Green Lantern Black Stars 1 through 3, Green Lantern Season 2, 1 through 4, and 6 through 9. I gave number 5 a 5 out of 5 because it was the Kirby issue. I really enjoy these Grant Morrison books, and I think I enjoy them a lot because I read them in bulk. I think if I read this monthly, everything would be a 3 out of 5, except for maybe that Kirby issue. There's a Kirby tribute issue. Liam Sharp is channeling Kirby, and he kicks ass, and the colorist, whoever does the colors in that issue, they do it in like a 70s type style. It looks so beautiful. I actually really like this series. Miranda and the Maelstrom. This is sort of like Dorothy and Toto in space. And it has some funny moments. There's some gangsters that come out of this tornado, and they're like 20s gangsters. They're like, see, I'm coming for you, see. And they're vampire gangsters, and they're coming after Miranda. And I just laughed at that like a lot. I thought it was really good. We have We Live from Aftershock. That was really, really good. Madam Satan from Archie. That's about a character that dies and takes out Lucifer, essentially, and then has links to Sabrina the Witch. This is a series that. It's a one shot, but it could potentially be involved in like Sabrina the Teenage Witch or any of those dark Archie books. It was really well done. We have Green Lantern season 2, 5 out of 5, which we talked about the Kirby issue. That was a 5 out of 5. We have Savage Dragon Mini number 190, which was the death sort of Mako. And a huge fight between Mako and Savage Dragon, and I'll talk about that more later because I did take more detailed notes since we started the Fanatics segment on Geek Brunch, and this was the mini comic of 190, and later on I read 190, the full blown version. And we had a Savage Dragon 212, well, which is a 5 out of 5. So most of the time, like I said, Savage Dragon is just top notch and really well told. The week of 11/23 through 11/29, this will go over this, and that'll take us to almost December, which is good. And I'll record that one maybe later if I get to it, or later in the week. But we had four, three movies. We had they were all 4 out of 5s, and I'll go from bottom to top. We watched the Pet Sematary remake on Amazon Prime. That was really good. I really want to watch the original now to compare the two. New Mutants, a 4 out of 5. That was really well done. It's a good superhero story, and it's not really a superhero story. It's more of a psychological thriller, and it's really interesting how they did it. Probably like a all on one site, you know. I don't think it would have taken a lot of money to make. There's not a lot of special effects, even though they have moments of the demon bear, and they show some of Cannonball's powers and Sunspot, but he really only like flames up once, and Ilyandra doesn't have a lot of special effects, and Mirage, Dany, is there, and Wolfsbane. I think she turns like she was really a wolf, and she I don't think they showed her, if I remember correctly, in a hybrid form where she looks like a human wolf. She really was a wolf. In other words, when they show her, it's a really, really a wolf. And they show some of her face like mutating and her eyes through her eyes, but it's not like a American Werewolf in London. So there's not a lot of special effects, but it's more of, like I said, a psychological thriller about these mutant kids being kept by an organization, an evil organization. We have Underwater. That was a pretty good horror abyss type story with Cthulhu creatures underwater and their oil type facilities. And it's kind of, if you like aliens or isolation movies that happened in the middle of the ocean, this is probably a movie you should check out. We saw that one on HBO Max. New Mutants I bought for those keeping tallies. We had a total of 38 comics. This must have been Thanksgiving week because I had a really good week of reading. We had 5 Silver Line comics, which were sort of Kickstarters. Scout, 3 of them. Marvel, 13. Image 7, IDW 4, DC 20, Counterpoint 2, which was a Kickstarter, but I had to go to eBay to get them once I found out the Savage Eve. It looked so beautiful by the cover. I decided I needed it, And I was just looking at Savage Dragon comics and saw it in my database, what is Savage Eve? And it just looked really sexy and I wanted to check it out. And I like Bad Girl comics, and this is sort of that thing. AWA, one, two Aftershock. We'll start with the 2 out of 5. So, wow, I had a 2 out of 5. That means I didn't like it. What? This is I was playing around in a realm that I know nothing about, and maybe that's why I gave it a bad rating. So don't listen to me if you're a Warhammer fan, because I'm not a Warhammer fan. I just know it's a game. I know it has a huge cult following. I know there was a store in Arizona dedicated to Warhammer. I remember because we saw it. I walk through it and I'm like, wow, there's a whole store of gaming and most of it's Warhammer. So I know it was big. I know Marvel, I know they didn't always have the property and now they have the property to do stuff with. This was Warhammer 40K, Marnius Khalgar, number 1. And I mostly got it for the artist because he was an Avatar artist and I like Jason Burrows. Is an artist that I really like, and the art on this was solid. There was nothing. The only thing I didn't like is it read like a manual. It was very like factual, kind of like I was saying in the previous episode, how Norse mythology is written like that. It was written like that, but I have nothing. I have no interest or stuff in role playing, so I wouldn't get it. But I think if I played the game and I was getting this information. It might be interesting. There's not a lot of action. It's more like filling in some holes there. I think certain people might like that. So just because I gave it a 2 out of 5, don't listen to me. If you're a fan of Warhammer, you might want to check Marvel Comics, Warhammer 40K, Marnius Khalgar. I'm gonna continue with it just because it's like 5 issues, and I might as well finish it. Issue 2 even came around, and it was so out of my. I read it, I tried to read it, and I actually cheated. I haven't done this. This kind of goes to show how I feel about the property, because I don't ever. I like. I'll read myself through a book even if I don't like it, and I just decided. I read the first 3 pages, and I was like, I can't put myself through this. Personally, I'm just going to look at the pretty pictures and call it done. That's very rare for me to do. But just because I didn't like it, don't let it turn it off. If you're a Warhammer fan, I think you should try it. And I did post a Facebook message saying, man, I really don't get it. Like, I'm not sure I get it. And somebody posted and told me what the story was, and I guess I did get it because that's what I got out of the story. I just expected it to be a story and not I read like a manual, I guess. I didn't dig. We have the 3 out of 5s. Bloodline number 1. This was a flip book with Friar Rush from Silverline. This was more of a straightforward story of a vampire type hero. It was good. I enjoyed it. If there's a number 2, will I get it? Yes. It's on that threshold, but yes, I would. I like what Silverline is doing, and I will back their properties. I'm as long as I have a job and I can afford to buy Silverline, I will buy Silverline. I will support them. I mostly know it from Roland Mann, he comes from the Malibu world. I like what he does, and he did the Cat and Mouse world, and I find those comics like top of the line. Like I don't know what it is about them. They're not like pulp or Touching Evil or books that just like blow your mind, but they're just fun superhero crime demon comics, and it has that like Malibu vibe, and I think that's why I like it so much. And I think these properties that they have, and they have different people writing it, they have that vein of like a look and feel of Malibu Comics that I like. Yasmine 2 and 3, I gave a 3 out of 5, but once I see where this is going, and you'll see that I rated issue 4 a 5 out of 5. My main complaint with this book is the time shifts. It just drives me nuts. If it wasn't for the time shifts and it was told more linearly and I understood exactly where this was in time, Yasmin was going through it, you can kind of piece it together just based on what it is. It's about a girl in Iraq that gets caught up in a crossfire, and her family was well to do over there, and she has to separate with her uncle, and her uncle gets assassinated, and then she gets caught up. But this is not told linearly. I'm kind of telling you linearly. And that's my only complaint with the book. But she, her uncle gets assassinated by these people that are trying to take over, and her family flees to America. And then she reunites with her family later on, but she goes through a traumatizing experience where her captors sort of use her as like a sex slave, and she has to escape out of that. And then she gets back to America, and I think where issue 5 just blew my mind is there's an awful, awful girl in her high school, and no, it wasn't an awful girl. It was a girl she met, and they both go to a party, and if I remember correctly, one of them gets really drunk because she's going to be with a guy that she really, really liked. And Yasmin and her separate, and she didn't really want to separate. This is like a movie I've seen before, but it gets to like a almost like a borderline date rape situation, and they were actually filming it and treating her like a drunk slut. And Yasmin breaks it up, kind of grabs her, takes her out in a car, drives her away, takes her home, and she's like, "I'm so sorry this happened to you." And then the next day she says, "Oh wow, this is gonna get released." So Yasmin works with her mom to like drive to, she like does investigation of how this could all go through social media and goes through all these location beats to try and stop the spread of something that can happen to her friend like almost instantaneously because it's this person sharing with this person and this person. And sometimes they use it as blackmail. Like they'll say, Look what your son did." And the mother's like, "What? George, get down here, you son of a bitch! What did you do? You were almost to rape this girl. What the fuck?" And it's like, pow, pow. They use it like that. And they're like, "Who did you send this to?" And then it just got so cool. And Yasmin went from a 3 out of 5 in that one issue to a 5 out of 5. And I'm a believer in this book. And I might double dip on Yasmin because my mind. I just want to read this from beginning to end and experience all the beats. I want to experience all the beats. I want to experience every emotion. And now that I've sort of like pieced together, I think if the writer like would actually say, "Here's the date and this happened," when he's like switching scenes, I think my brain would have switched easier because usually artistically, they'll do this through color. They'll do this through an artistic style change to show you the time shifts, and that works. In this case, the art team just told it like in the same art style. And sometimes when you're turning the page, you're like, "Where am I? Where is this in the past, or is this now, or is this in the future, or where am I?" And I think because it didn't have those color templates and stuff, it didn't like move in the right, like the emotions you're supposed to feel, the time slicing you're supposed to feel. If it flowed more so like I wasn't confused, I would like it a lot more. But once I'm able to read this as a whole and fill in the gaps myself, now that I know where the gaps are and where how I'm piecing it together in my own mind. I appreciate this thing as a masterpiece. So I kind of jumped ahead because I talked about Yasmin number five too. We have Wonder Woman 327, which was that Crisis on Infinite Earths from the 80s crossover, and how it really doesn't cross over other than the red skies and Wonder Woman going back through this Amazon, not Amazon, Aztec time, and fighting an Aztec god. She goes through like time, and she, her and Etta, and I think it was Steve Trevor, they were in, they switched to like these Aztec times. She was there to rescue some pilots, and they got into these garb, the like the garb of the Aztecs, and they became part of that history. And then she had to go in there and rescue them and then get them out and then bring them out in her invisible jet. And when they were coming out in the invisible jet, that's when they read the Red Skies at Night. Oh. That's when it happened. So that was a 4 out of 5, Wonder Woman 327. That was a late night read on the application. I have that comic in physical form, but sometimes I go through the DC app and I'm like, oh, that looks, I'll check it out. And it's 2 a.m. and I want to read it. Barb just went to bed and I'm getting up. So weird. Star Wars Adventures, Volume 2, Number 1 and 2. This one has a Rey story with everyone else, Poe Dameron and Finn, and in a space pirate story. It's really cool and really interesting. It's told in a different style that might be for all ages, but told really well that you would enjoy it. One of them had an Empire Strikes Back backup, which is taken right out of the movie, just sort of like a different perspective on Ice Planet Hoth, and that is one of my favorite scenes of all time, is the Hoth battle. God, I just love it. I love the Hoth environment so much. It's my all-time favorite Star Wars thing. Like, I would love if we'd get like a mini series of Ice Planet Hoth where they would just explore that battle and just like show more detail and what was happening on that battle, because I just love that battle so much. This comic was really good, and it makes me want to. I sort of stayed away from this because it was Star Wars Adventures for kids, and I kind of regret it. I want to go back and pick some of these up, but some of them have gone expensive because of first appearances and shit like that. Star Wars is just blowing up, blowing the fuck up in the back market. Savage Eve 1 and 2, I talked about this. This was the Counterpoint comic book. This is sort of like a secret agency that's trying to train women to be these assassins, and this one happens to be Eve, and in her mind she came from Adam and Eve, and it sort of has that like biblical connotation in their backstory, and there's dinosaurs and all kinds of stuff and battles and stuff. I really liked it. So I ordered 3 and 4, and they're not cheap. They're $20 a piece. They were original Kickstarter books, but if you try to go back and obtain some of these, like I said, they're not cheap, and they have like multiple covers, so you have to find which one you like, and then if it's hopefully not ratioed, you can get it for like $20. So I ordered 3 and 4 over this around November, right after I read these. I ordered them. And they got lost in Arizona. So I reported them lost. And the USPS came back and they said, yes, your book was either lost or destroyed and went to this facility, and we're not going to do some investigation, but you can close this out with your seller and they should be able to access their damage report and or do their claim. And for some reason, when he gave me his information and I put it all in the lost report and all that. It said that the package was insured at least through the USPS for $100, so I knew he could get his money back. And I requested a refund, but it was a weird one because it was two separate orders with the same shipping on different items on eBay. So I sent him an email saying, "Yeah, I'd like to be refunded on these books." And he's been really nice, really good seller so far. And he said, "Okay, I refund," but he refunded the one, but not the other. And then I wrote him back and say, "Well, this is what happened. Can I get a refund on the other one?" And he says, some of the correspondence says, "I haven't had access to a computer because I'm out for the holidays, blah blah blah." And while he was out, I think it was the day after Christmas or maybe the day after that, I got the package, and it had 3 and 4, and they were just in great condition. The package wasn't destroyed. So I mailed him back and I said, "I owe you for this package because you refunded my money. Just send me your PayPal and I'll just PayPal you." He hasn't got back to me yet, but I'm going to pay him. He refunded my money for one of those items, and now I need to pay him back because I got the package. It's the right thing to do. And even though the post office fucked it all up. But anyway, that's Savage Eve, and I've really enjoyed that one and two. Hotel number four was the climax to this AWA series, which is a hotel like Bates Motel in the middle of nowhere with this supernatural stink to it that people just end up there when they're sort of on the run or need to get away or trying to get somewhere, but there's something effed up. And it sort of ties in all of the craziness that was happening in issues 1 through 3. Some of those issues I liked more than others, but they were always a 4 out of 5 or a 5 out of 5. I give a couple of hotels a 5 out of 5. The wrap up was good. It was pretty solid, but not as good as some of those earlier issues. Power Pack number one was a fantastic story in terms of getting you up to speed of where Power Pack has been. And if you've been reading some other series, you know that two of the Power Pack characters have been featured in other books. One of them was in Runaways, I believe, and the other two were in Space. I just can't think of the title anymore. If it comes to me, I'll let you know. But the one guy that can form into a gas or cloud, he's the one kid that I guess never really appeared anywhere, but it sort of told it through a book that Katie, I think Katie is the young girl. Maybe she's not. She's a super strong one. But she was telling this, well, maybe she's not the strong one. I can't remember. I'm getting confused with Runaways. But she was telling the story. She was writing a Christmas gift sort of thing to her parents, and she was telling it in the form of a comic book. And the writer just did such a fantastic job doing that that it catches the reader up to speed with a story within a story. It was just so well told. Good story. Really well done. Snake Eyes, Dead Game, IDW, 2 through 3, Rob Liefeld. I'm such on a Rob Liefeld kick. I wasn't going to get this. And something happened. Bill on Geek Brunch said, "What's the matter with you? You're cutting back." But this is Rob Liefeld, man. You love Rob Liefeld. And he was right, you know. And the thing I love about this G.I. Joe is it ties into the old dolls, man. I'm not talking about the G.I. Joe cartoon. I'm talking about the hairy bearded motherfucker that I grew up with, the ape guy who was the villain that you had a cage entrapment for, and Bullet Man, who was also in that doll series. These are ones from the 70s that I absolutely grew up with, this G.I. Joe with Kung Fu Grip. Yeah, he has that stuff happening in this comic book, and it's action paced. And I dig how he's calling, making these callbacks, and I dig how Hasbro's approving it. So yeah, Snake Eyes, Dead Game, 2 through 3. Another thing coming out of Rob's observations is He has a fantastic episode about New 52 and how he was hired and how he was hired for Hawk and Dove, so he talks about that. But then he was talking about how Dan DiDio and some editors got together, Bob Harris, and they were like, "We want to hire you for some of these other books that are dwindling in sales, but we think you could add some juice to it like you did with New Mutants. So have fun. We want you to take over Hawkman. We want you to take over Grifter. And we want you to take over Deathstroke." And Rob is like, "Wow, Grifter, I'm not so sure about what to do with. But I'll take it. Hawkman, I really think I could do something with. And Deathstroke, I love. I mean, that's kind of like Cable, you know. It's I and I was like, man, okay. I read these when they were coming out. I felt pretty good about them. I think if I went back and rated them, they were in 3 out of 5s or 4 out of 5s. I know they weren't in 5 out of 5s, but I wanted to read them again, knowing all the craziness and all the stories that Rob was telling about editorial doing these things at such a fast pace and how they were using, use Cheshire. No, don't use Cheshire. Oh, wait, throw in Zealot. No, don't throw in Zealot. And switch Zealot from this book to Deathstroke, even though you had Zealot and Grifter, which made more sense because they were Wildstorm, but the editors were just dudes of crazy shit, and he was telling these stories, and I was like, God, I gotta read these again. So this is I highly recommend if you want to experience this again, to listen to the episode, and then go to your DC app if you have these, or if you have them in the long box, pull them out, read them again. I think you're gonna have a ball just experiencing it like I do. So I read Grifter 9 through 16 and number 0. I read Deathstroke number 9 through 14, Savage Hawkman 9 through 11 and number 0. And I think you should jump on it. It's a lot of fun. We get to Silverline again, Friar Rush. This was drawn kind of in a different format, but the story is pretty solid. I'd recommend that from Silverline. Werewolf by Night 1 and 2. This is the 2020 version of Werewolf by Night, and it's not our what is his name? His name Jack Russell, like a Jack Russell Terrier. That's how I always remember his name. It's a new Werewolf by Night, and it's really told really well, and the art is solid. I jump on it. Sniper and Rook, they're a team of mercenaries. Black and White, really well told. And I can't wait for number 2 on this one. I hope it happens. We have Trumps number 1. I was hesitant to get this one because of the title. I'm like, I hate Trump. I don't want anything with him. But it has nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with cards and sort of like factions of cards. So you have the hearts, you have the diamonds, you have the spades, and they're all fighting one another. And this is a really interesting story of cards and what's happening with the characters that represent those cards. I liked it a lot. And that Texas Blood 4 through 5, that story continues with Crazy Town and a sheriff trying to keep it everything together, and the murder of a brother, and that mystery is unfolding. Atlantis Wasn't Built for Tourists, number 2 and 3. This is a crazy series too. This is about a hitchhiker that has he's a how can I say that? His father was not human. It was like a merman. And the mother, or vice versa, I can't remember. If the mother was a mermaid type creature and the husband was a human, or if it was vice versa, but he's a hybrid and he can turn into this like creature from the Black Lagoon type thing, But he's just a human in the first part of this story arc, and he's walking through this town, Atlantis, and a drunk woman hits him and hurts herself, and he walks this woman into town. Well, it turns out she was trying to get away from this town, and this town is infested with vampires, and it turns into a crazy type story. I think it's great. I think you should check it out from Aftershock Comics. Cat and Mouse, number three. It's a story about two characters that one's a cat, one's a mouse, and sort of this child. What do I want to call it? Where they take children and turn them into either prostitutes or sex slaves, and sometimes they turn them into ninja warriors. But this one guy goes looking for his ex-girlfriend's sister, and she's Mouse, but she's being trained in this organization, and he was an ex-cop, and he's going to try. I'm having fun trying to remember this stuff because it's so old and I didn't write any notes. But he goes to try to rescue her from this brothel type thing of brothel of ninjas. But he ends up rescuing her, and they look like they're going to work together to try to take down this organization. The comic book originated. There's two volumes of it. I think I own it all except for the original black and white because it had such a small print run. It's hard to track down. The series moved to Aracel, I believe, and then kept on going forward. And it tied in a lot of. There's a comic book called Demon Tales, or and other sorts of books that are tied up in this universe. Maybe three other titles, and I've trying to obtain them all. I'm still trying to track down a few of them. I don't have a full run of Cat and Rat Mouse. I think I have a full run of that Demon. Let's see, Cat and Mouse. So there's Cat and Mouse. This was an EF publication. That's the one that's hard to track down. It wasn't successful. By Roland Mann and Mitch Bird, who you've probably heard of. And that didn't take off, and the timing was wrong, and it was part color. But then that series became Cat and Mouse from Aracel, and that one had a long run. That one had 17 issues. I need to track down 18 issues. I need to track down 18. But other than that, I have the full run. There is a trade paperback that reprints 1 through 4 if you're able to track that down. And then the Silver Line edition, which has been kickstarted mostly, but some of it's available on that print on demand. So check that out. Different artist, his name is Dean Zachary and Alex Gallimore. But what's the other one called? Demon Tales? I can't remember what it is called, but and that one's weird too because that character appears in Cat and Mouse, but he was a veterinarian, if I remember correctly. Who something happens to him. And he turns into this demon with a tail, and he becomes part of the whole plot in Cat and Mouse. So that's how that series gets involved. So we have where am I? I'm talking a lot about these. Didn't intend to. Big Girls, we've already talked about on the previous issues. The story just continues with that. And you learn that the officials of that city, they know more than they're telling about what happened. And it was a female scientist that kind of caused this whole big girl and kaiju thing to happen. And now she's like turning that scientist is turning into a villain. And the main hero, which is a gigantic woman, is having sympathy towards the kaiju and doesn't think that they're bad, that there's something. Yes, they might lose some of their mind and stuff, but the core of who that person was still exists in these creatures. We have Star Wars number 16. This was the original series, and I had to buy this because it's the first appearance of Valance. And I read it, and it did not disappoint. This was a really good issue. And where did I find out about Valance is I was reading the current series called Star Wars Bounty Hunters, and Valance is a character in there. And I like my eyes popped out of my head knowing that this character existed before. And because I was like, this character is fucking awesome. I need to know if it existed before. After I read Star Wars Bounty Hunters number one and two, I needed to do some digging, and I went to the internet and I found out that this character was created in the original Marvel series, and I was like, I have to have it because I enjoyed it and I wanted to read the first, and I did read it and it was worth it. I read Star Wars 1 through 8 again on the app. This was the Marvel taking over the property again, volume 2 with of Marvel. And this is where they invade a weapons bank. Luke, Han, and Leia go to try to take down this weapons facility, and Darth Vader comes on, and it turns out that there's a lot to this story. But it's another battle with Luke. Luke feels insufficient after he fights Vader and has to go on a solo mission. Han and Leia barely get away after they get back to the Falcon with Chewie and C-3PO disassembled. And then they end up on a planet as the Empire is chasing them, where he runs into his ex-wife. And I still don't know. I haven't read far enough to know where that woman that claims as Han's wife comes from. But it's a very good story, and 5 out of 5 Star Wars. Savage Dragon 254. This is where Malcolm. I have a way better write-up on this one, but I just wrote up that Malcolm fights the Vicious Circle. But in 254, it's if you read in all the details, it's pretty fucking amazing. And I didn't realize at the time until I read 255 that Dart almost killed Malcolm. Like, she almost nearly killed him. And the other thing that I really appreciated with 254 is there's a scene with him and his kids. Like, him and Maxine had all those little dragon kids. And we talked about the tiger and the last issue, but they were goofing around and they painted on one of his fins. They painted a dick, and it's squirting stuff out. And then as he turns his, he doesn't know his face is painted, and he has a mustache and glasses. But on the side of the fins are the nasty marks that Maxine drew, and on the other side she drew a vagina leaking with the. So it's like that's just funny shit. And he went into battle with the Vicious Circle with this huge dick on one fin and a vagina on the other. I was like, oh Jesus, this is so funny. And 137 was the Obama cover, and it was I was I couldn't I never got I have one I had 137, but I didn't have the Obama cover for that one. And that was kind of like the Biden cover with the inauguration one. And it must have like been like a cover B. But I never got that cover B. So I had there it turns out those are worth like $100 each. And it's hard to try to find a raw one graded. So I was able to get a fourth print of the Obama cover for $25. And that's why I think, like, strategically, after looking at trends, long-term trends with Savage Dragon and Spawn, that they are worth any kind of investment long term. If you look at them from a perspective of growth, there's a loyal fan base for both of these books. More so Spawn than Savage Dragon, but Savage Dragon, you'll always get like double cover, or sometimes triple, or sometimes quadruple, depending on the print run, because the print runs for Savage Dragon are so goddamn low. And now he's exploring with cover A's and cover B's. So I think there's money to be made. So I'm double dipping. Yes, I am. And I think I'm looking at investing in those two titles, where I won't sell my copies, but I'll have another set of copies I will sell. And that issue was trying to get back to the dimension with Mr. Gloom. So we already talked about Yasmin 4, which blew my mind. And then the top, so the 5 out of 5s were Star Wars 1 through 8, Savage Dragon 254, Yasmin, which we talked about in depth, number 4, Bomb Queen number 3. This series, in times of Trump getting me really upset, it puts a humor into it that somebody as awful, who's such an awful villain character, like Bomb Queen is the worst of the worst, that she is running against Trump and winning. I find hilarious. She's not a good person, and she didn't even want to run. It was a superhero that convinced her to run because he hated Trump so bad. And he's like, here's what I want you to do. I think they were related. It's like a brother sister thing, or there's some kind of relationship between them. And he's like, when we win, you quit and you can go back to doing whatever you want, and I will take over as vice president and make things right. And she's like, yeah, I'll just go along with it. But the more she went into this running, she realized that she really wanted to become president. And she is not a good person. And there's some funny scenes. It's a very sexual book, so if things like that in a humor type sexual book, if they offend you, you don't want to get it. But I think it's worth every penny. And I know me and Bill Bomer enjoy it quite a bit. So that wraps us up for that week, and I'm gonna call that an episode. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com on the emails at Mike Myers Brunch. We're located at geekbrunchpodcast.com. Go visit there. You can listen to all the episodes right off of there, or you can go to iTunes or any of your subscription services such as Pandora and what is the other one? I can't remember. And listen to them there. So that's where you can listen to all these episodes. And this is on the geekbrunchpodcast.com feed. So let me know what you think. Let me know if you want to try Yasmin, and let me know if you like that. I just think it's sort of like mind-blowing a series. I don't know if it comes from true origins or based on anything true, but it feels like it. So I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again really soon. I still got to record the first part of this, but I'm jumping ahead of myself. So I will talk to you later, and we'll see ya. Bye.